And as always, I speak in the name of the one true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Names are incredibly important, aren't they? Choosing a name, if we've ever had to do that for a baby, is really hard. We try all sorts of names in our heads. Do they fit the baby? Do they fit the surname? And so on. Names are important. And when we choose names, we have the question, do we choose a name that continues on a family tradition of names? Or do we go with an individual name, a new name for the child? Do we go with a modern name, a name that is of the moment? Or do we go with a more traditional name? Do we choose a name that is of our favourite singer, our favourite celebrity, our favourite sports star? Many do. The most unusual name that I've baptised a child is Coist. Coist was named after a famous Scottish footballer, Ally McCoist, and the dad was a great fan of his. But whatever route we go, in choosing a name, it gives us an identity in life. And keeping honour of that name is very important, isn't it? Dare anyone say anything about us or about our family name, we will defend it, won't we? Honour of our name is important. Well, today we are going to spend some time in Luke chapter 2. It's one of the post-Christmas readings. And in the lead-up to our passage that was read a few moments ago, we, of course, have had the birth of Jesus as promised and fulfilled in Bethlehem. We read these words just a few short weeks ago. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A baby has been born. And then we have the great announcement of the birth by the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom his favour rests. A baby is born. The announcement of that baby. And then Matthew 2 gives us another part of the story as the Magi, the wise men, follow the star as they visit Jesus. And when they find him, we read of their own reaction. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of this tells us that this child was a special child. And so as we pick up our passage from Luke 2, verse 21, as always, I encourage you to follow along on the weekly sheet or in the Pew Bible, just a short passage this morning. We are reminded of a number of things as we continue the Christmas and the Epiphany story. We are reminded once again that Mary and Joseph are ordinary, faithful Jews. They claim to be no more than that. And as ordinary, faithful Jews, like everyone else, they are required to follow Jewish practices and traditions, much like Jewish parents do today, much like we do today, albeit in a slightly different form. We do it through the service of baptism. But baptism, of course, wasn't really practiced then, as it really only comes into growth as a symbol of the Christian faith. We, of course, in the next passage read about John baptizing Jesus as an adult. But for now, Mary and Joseph are following the Jewish tradition. And as we come to our reading, verse 21, follow along, it tells us that at 8 days old, Mary and Joseph have their baby circumcised, and he is named Jesus. Then a little bit later on, in verse 22, they bring Jesus, as is the custom, to bring the firstborn male to the temple in Jerusalem, and they present Jesus to the Lord. And then in verse 24, they offer a thanks sacrifice for him, a pair of doves are two young pigeons. I don't know whether that practice would take root in our churches if every time we had a baptism there was a couple of pigeons and a couple of doves. Maybe that's a new one for 2017. But as I read the passage again, the phrase that caught my attention comes at the end of verse 21. I wonder, did it stand out to you? But this was the phrase that caught my attention. He was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he was conceived. On the one hand, Mary and Joseph didn't have to write a list of names. They didn't have to write that list of considerations. But on the other hand, they didn't get to choose the name of their child either. I wonder what name they would have chosen if they had a free choice. But we are told before their baby was conceived, before he was born, his name had already been chosen by God. It is not some random name. It's not some popular name or a traditional name or a modern name. It's not even a family name that is passed on through the generations. But as we will hear in a moment, it is a name that carries great significance. It's a name that carries great weight to it. What was the name? He was named, we are told, Jesus. And why was this name chosen before even he was born for him? Well, as we look afresh at what it means, as we will see, it gives us a clue as to why Jesus, the Son of God, comes and what his purpose is. The name is a pointer to what this child will do. Jesus is actually our English translation, but the Hebrew name is Yeshua. And Yeshua simply means God saves. God saves. Matthew 1 verse 21 helps us tease this meaning out a little further for us. Sometimes we've got to look through each of the gospel accounts to kind of get a fuller picture, because sometimes some of the writers only record a little part of the story. But Matthew tells us, after Mary has become pregnant, an angel visits Joseph to reassure him. You can imagine that Joseph's world has been turned upside down. His fiance is pregnant. The scandal. But an angel visits Joseph to reassure him that all will be okay. And she says to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because, what does it say? He will save his people from their sins. God saves. He will save his people, God's people, from their sins. So Jesus is a God-given name of fulfillment. It's filled with promise. It's filled with expectation. It's filled with reassurance. It's filled with hope. It's filled with love. Jesus is the one whom God sends to save people from their sins, which we know he does on the cross, and which we know he can by faith as we trust in him. But as we connect with this, the most obvious question for us to ask ourselves as we apply this passage to our lives is this. What does the name of Jesus mean to each one of us? As we stand at the beginning of a new year, what does the name of Jesus mean to each one of us? I've said it many times before, and I say it now. Is the name of Jesus merely a swear word to us? Or is it a name that causes us to pause and even to bow our heads in respect and reverence? Jesus, the one whom God sends to save us from our sins. Is the name of Jesus one in our hearts and in our lives, one of honour, worth defending and worth telling people about? Is the name of Jesus just a common name, and no different to us than any other name that anyone else is given? Or is the name of Jesus a name that is set aside and special in what it communicates for us, what it means to us in our lives, what it says to us, as the one who has come among us, who has died for us, and who saves us from our sins. What does the name of Jesus mean to each of us today? He was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he was conceived. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that each of us, through our baptism, is given a privileged name. Each of us, through faith, is given us a name as the child of God. And we are thankful that we can know that because of Jesus, because of his birth in Bethlehem, because of his death, because of his resurrection. By faith, we can know in a very deep way in our lives that the name of Jesus is not just an average, ordinary name, but it is a name that tells us about God's love, mercy, and grace for each of us. It is a name that reminds us that through Jesus, we are saved from our sins. So help us to reconnect and to use and see the name of Jesus as precious. And I pray this in his precious name. Amen.